Yeah, so you're very welcome again to the Film and TV Show, and joined in the studio now by Dan. Hi, Dan.
Ahoy, hoy.
Ahoy, hoy. By Gemma. Hello, Gemma.
Hi, Paul.
And by Felicity. We have Felicity live in studio today.
Felicity!
Hi, how are you doing?
That's Felicity.
Yay.
And a very exciting show lined up today. Of course, we have the that big interview with Nobody.
I can't wait to hear that. I've heard such good things about Nobody.
Yeah, and his film, Nothing.
Nothing.
It was quite good friends with Nobody.
Okay, so we're going to kick things off, as always, with Gemma and her IFTN news. So, Gemma, what have you got for us?
Thanks, Paul. Well, the IFTAs are coming up this month on the 24th of May, and there's loads of film categories. Frank and Patrick's Day both secured 9 nominations apiece, while Glassland received 6 nominations. And there were 3 nominations for I Used to Live Here and Noble and The Song of the Sea. So that'll be cool. On television, the awards are Love, Hate and Vikings. They received 7 nominations. And Charlie and the Fall and Game of Thrones all have 3 nominations. So Frank Berry, who we had on the show not so long ago. We really like Frank Berry. And Will Collins are nominated for their scripts for I Used to Live Here and The Song of the Sea. Alongside writer-director Gerard Barrett, who we also love, who did Glassland, and Terry McMahon. So, yeah.
Do we love Terry?
I don't really know.
Yeah, do we love Terry?
Does anybody love Terry McMahon?
Okay, what does Terry McMahon?
I haven't a breeze.
He did the one about... He did Patrick's Day, didn't he? He's the director of Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I didn't see that.
Usually. So loads of interesting awards, nominations, so it'll be interesting to see who bags the film and television awards. Another interesting thing, the revenge thriller, I thought it was It, but it's actually IT, from Irish director John Moore, is set to begin shooting in Ireland this June. So it's a really interesting storyline, and it stars Pierce Brosnan as a successful owner of a private jet business, who would have thought it, who finds himself pitted against a disgruntled young IT consultant who begins stalking his daughter and using technology, of all things, to threaten his family.
Is he the big robot at one point?
Business and life. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe he just, I don't know. I couldn't. Maybe logs into her Facebook account.
Take him on the wrong
It's
man,
terrifying.
Isn't he really? Mm. Pierce Brosnan.
Who's James Bond?
That's not going to happen.
So, Brosnan's daughter in the film is Stephanie Scott. So she has done lots of kids television for Disney and Ant Farm, that kind of thing. But interesting, John Moore is a graduate of the Dundalk Institute.
Right.
So that's nice. Yeah. And he has had an impressive pedigree of directing big budget films that have become commercially successful. So he's done Behind Enemy Lines, Flight of the Phoenix, The Omen, Max Payne and A Good Day to Die Hard.
Wow.
Which is...
That's pretty successful, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was very good up until the last two there.
Well, I don't know. I liked the Die Hard, no?
No, I can't stand Die Hard 5.
Can't stand Die Hard
1. Wow. No, Die Hard's 1 through 4. I'll watch any day of the week. Number 5,
fair enough. It's pretty weak. But
it's very weak.
So he directed that. He'd be glad to hear your comments.
I'm in a negative mood today.
You are in a bit of a negative mood. Dan, calm down. I love this documentary, Blood Fruit. Has anybody seen this? It's about the workers in Dunn's stores in 1984.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's such a good story. So that is winner of Best Irish Feature Documentary in the Film FLA in 2014, and it's going to embark on a 4 screening tour in New York and Washington on May the 25th to the 29th. So, and two of the strikers, Mary Manning and Karen Gearan, are invited to travel along, and the director, obviously Sinead O'Brien, and the screenings will be held throughout New York and Washington. I don't know whether anybody might be there, so I might not know.
They're not showing it in Ireland, or has it been on general release?
Yeah, you can watch it. It's on general release, and it did the festival tour last year.
Okay, I didn't hear about it.
Did you not?
No.
Oh, yeah, no, I only heard about it last year, actually, and then I watched it. And it's really cool. It's a really nice story. Actually, really brave story. These strikers in Dunn's stores refused to handle South African goods because it was during the apartheid. And it began to really gain a lot of momentum. Nelson Mandela heard about it. They went to South Africa. It was really cool. But they mentioned in the trailer that like their fellow workers, oh my God, used to just say horrible things to them, like going into work, they'd walk past them on the picket lines and say, like, you know, you're making a fool of yourselves and what are you doing? And, you know, anyway, put your pride in your pocket was one that stuck by me now when I watched it. Anyway, so that's doing the rounds this year. So if you get a chance to look at it, do. Has anybody
fly to Washington?
Yeah, just fly to Washington. Or you can purchase it, I'm sure, online. Has anybody been watching the Islanders on TV3?
I haven't been watching it, but I've been... I'm aware of it.
Yes.
Yes, it was on a clip on the TV this morning.
So funded by TV3 and the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland, Islanders is a four-part series produced by TV3 Productions, and it's starting... I think it started last night. But it's on next Wednesday at 9 p.m. and it's actually breathtaking. It's incredibly breathtaking, the shots that they have of the island. I think living in Dublin, like, you kind of forget about, like, the beauty, you know, the beauty and all that. But it's, yeah, it's gorgeous, it's really nice, and it's from Aran Mór in County Donegal, and yeah, it's breathtaking landscapes, and the stories are uplifting, and they're told with honesty and frankness.
Oh, that's the best way to tell stories, isn't it?
This is it, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't always happen, but sure, there you go. And also, Limerick Film Festival. I'm putting this in because a film I produced won an award, so I'm going to mention
just
it.
Drop that in there.
Yeah, just got a little plug in there. So that finished up last week. And so we actually got Best Edit. And another guy in my class actually got, he won Best Factual Documentary for Epitaph, which was a nice little documentary about Glass Nevin Cemetery. It's very uplifting,
very,
I know.
It's popular at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's getting loads of... Well, it's I suppose it's so iconic.
And Dubliners and...
Yes.
And it's a great cemetery, though, in fairness.
I mean,
as cemeteries go,
it's one of the best.
It's in the top five cemeteries in Ireland.
Go on, Dan, you say it. People dying to get in there. Go on. yeah, I did it.
Oh, geez.
I know someone who's looking.
I'm just upset that you thought of that before I did.
Really? Would that be spooky?
No, I don't think so. I think it's very. Of all the places in Dublin to look over, I don't think Glass Nevin Cemetery is one of the best. It's got such a rich history and culture.
The thoughts of zombies spring to mind, but I know that's a bit insensitive, but there you go. If I was living there overlooking it, I'd be like, watching out every day.
Yes.
Anyway.
Really?
No. You're knocking them dead with these jokes. I'll just leave.
See you then. Anyway, so Epitaph. Yeah, it was a lovely story about the guy who actually does the incisions.
Inscriptions.
Inscriptions.
That's the one,
On the tombstones. So that one.
Well done, congratulations.
Best factual. Thank you. And then... What else have we got? The Celtic Media Festival 2015.
Yes.
That drew to a close this evening in Everness. And they had lots of... I didn't realise that they did radio, actually. Oh. They did radio awards. So,
are we up for anything?
We're not, unfortunately. It's called the Torque Award. So the winners were the radio documentary Call of the Dark. That was RTÉ Radio 1. Radio Sports, Never Knocked Down, that's Radio 1 as well. Factual series, The Quest for Bannockburn, that was BBC Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Radio Music Programme, BBC. So yeah, I didn't realise they did awards for radio, so we should up our game here.
Yeah.
There's always next year, Paul.
There's always next year.
Radio personality presenter Michelle Nick Greena, who we all know and love. Never heard of her, have you?
No. I'm sure she's brilliant, though.
I'm sure she's great, yeah.
I'm sure she's brilliant. And, yeah, so that's kind of it for the news in IFTN this week.
It sounds good.
Very, interesting stuff, you know.
Shall we go for a bit of Oliver?
If we must, yes.
What do you mean by that? Pick up a case.
So we're joined now by Nina for her carnival section, where she looks at festival, film base and IFI news. What have you got for us this week, Nina?
Well, first of all, there is a special screening with a Q&A session of the with the director of Get Up and Go, Brendan Grant, on Friday at 6:30.
That's at the IFI, yeah. Get Up and Go is the new Irish feature. Yeah, and then what else do we have at the IFI?
Argerich, it's a documentary by Stephanie Argerich about her mother, Martha Argerich, who is a world-famous pianist from Argentina. She was born in 1941 in Buenos Aires. In this documentary, she's Stephanie is basically showing home footage and professional footage from about her mother, kind of showing things about their life and also showing some of the complications in their lives.
Yeah, because the original title, I think, was Bloody Daughter, so that might give a hint as to their relationship.
Well, it's more to do with the complication with her father, because she has two older sisters who had different fathers, and there's a legal issue with the documentation of her parentage. It's it actually won the Golden FIPA at the Biarritz International Festival of Audiovisual Programming. So
yeah, sounds good. Then also at the IFI, and it's being shown elsewhere in lots of other cinemas, and it's our film review for this week, is Far From the Madding Crowd. Not the maddening crowd, as I like to say, but Far From the Madding Crowd. Briefly, we can talk about that.
Yeah, it's by the director Thomas Vinterberg, who also did The Hunt, and based on a novel by Thomas Hardy. It's a love story and very entangled.
It is very, very entangled. I'll be trying to untangle it in my review, which is coming up later on. Then we have the IFI classic, 8.5.
Yep, it's a movie from 1963, so still black and white, by the director Federico Fellini, and it won two Oscars. It's starring Marcello Mastroianni from La Notte and La Dolce Vita, Anouk Aimée, La Dolce Vita and From Lola, Claudia Cardinale, who was in The Leopard, and Sera Una Volta Il Vest. And it's actually a sort of autobiographical film about the trials and tribulations of filmmaking, because Federico Fellini basically uses an alter ego in the film called Guido to present his own problems that he had in the past with making films, especially the low they might hit after having come out with a great hit that everybody loved, and then the pressure from the people around him who want him to do better, to keep being great, basically, who are constantly on his case about making more, even while he's in a dump, essentially.
Yeah, it's like the film and TV show, our first episode was so great, and then the pressure was enormous for the second episode to be as good. But and then, of course, we have the bigger picture at the IFI. Yep. Persona?
It's from 1966, so only 3 years later than the other one. It has a special introduction by Lenny Abrahamson, but the director of the film is Ingmar Bergman. It's shown on Wednesday the 6th at 6:30, and it actually won the National Society of Film Critics Awards in 1968.
Yeah, starring B.B. Anderson from The Seventh Seal, Liv Ullmann from Shame, Margaret Crook, and of course Lenny Abrahamson, famous Irish director, famous for Garage and Frank and What Richard Did.
Yep.
And so what's that story about, Persona?
Well, it's about these two women who live together. There's Elizabeth, who is an actress who suddenly went mute and nobody can explain why. But a young nurse called Alma is put in charge of her. And she keeps trying to get Elizabeth to talk to her. So she keeps talking all the time, the entire time she spends with her. But she never gets any answer. But it gets to the point where Alma is telling Elizabeth all these secrets about herself. And she feels herself almost absorbed.
Right. It sounds like very bad radio. Of talking to someone and getting no answers, but might make for good film.
It's definitely psychologically intense.
Yeah. Then we have Wild Strawberries and Baltina, The 100-Foot Journey.
Yeah. First of all, Wild Strawberries and Baltina is a month-long event at the IFI. They're bringing out showing movies every week. And the one for this week is shown on Friday at 11 a.m. called The 100-Foot Journey. It's by the director Lasse Hallström, who also did Chocolat. And it won the Truly Moving Picture Award at the Heartland Film Festival in 2014.
Yeah, stars Helen Mirren from The Queen and Red, and Om Puri from Gandhi and East is East.
Yeah, it's about this Indian family who had to leave their homeland because of big problems, violence, all sorts of things, and they go to France, where they eventually open up a restaurant with the help of a very nice woman who happens to work for their competitor across the street. This competitor is called Madame Mallory, and she's played by Helen Mirren. And it's a very haute cuisine establishment.
Yes, I've just realised that I've seen it. It's a very good movie.
It sounds very good.
Yeah, no, it is a very, very nice, very quaint, and very it's funny and sweet. So yeah, I'd recommend that one.
That's always a good sign.
Yeah, then at Film Base, I think we have one little piece of news. There's an open casting for feature film, male actors aged 14 to 20. That's taking place Saturday, May the 2nd, between 11 and 4 p.m. There will be an open casting in Dublin for two male lead parts in a feature film shooting in autumn time. Irish males between the ages of 14 to 20 need apply. The auditions will take place at Film Base. So that's interesting. And then in festival news, Nina, what have you got for us?
The Chicago Critics Film Festival, which is happening from the 1st to the 7th of May in Chicago. And they have many very interesting guests. Some of them like Joe Swanberg, Ryan Oliver, Colby Smulders, who is known from Avengers and How I Met Your Mother, and Bobcat Goldthwait.
Ah, that's a great name, isn't it? Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting one. He's the director of God Bless America.
Yep.
So they're showing a great selection of films comprised of the recent film festival favorites, as well as unshown works of both established filmmakers as well as newcomers. And it's basically film after film all day, every day. So I only picked out a few here.
Yep.
First of all, on the 1st of May at 7 p.m., Digging for Fire, which is by the director Joe Swanberg, who also did Drinking Buddies and You're Next. And it's starring Jake Johnson, who was or is in The New Girl and Let's Be Cops, Rosemary DeWitt from Cinderella Man, Orlando Bloom, everybody probably knows what he's been in, Brie Larson from 21 Jump Street, and Sam Rockwell from Iron Man 2, and Anna Kendrick from Into the Woods and Pitch Perfect. It's in this film, a young married couple is still trying to adjust to life as parents 3 years after their first child. And while they're house-sitting for some friends, they drop off the kid with her mother before going out for a night in town. And he's inviting some friends over. And both of them are having, well, a night full of temptations and lots of things that children really shouldn't be present for.
Enough said.
Yeah. Then the other movie that we're looking at is shown on May the 2nd at 9:30 p.m. called Call Me Lucky. And it's by Bobcat Goldthwait. And it tells the story of Barry Crimmins, who is a beer-swilling, politically outspoken and whip-smart comical man whose efforts in the 70s and 80s fostered the talents of the next generation of stand-up comedians.
Yeah, that sounds interesting, yeah. You'd almost be tempted to go all the way to Chicago just to meet Bobcat, wouldn't you?
Quite so, yeah. And he himself and the actor who plays Barry Crimmins are both attending the Q&A session afterwards. So,
okay, so that's some international film festival news. And of course, we'll have more local film festival news, film-based news and IFI news next week. So thanks, Nina.
No problem.
Hello and welcome to Near FM at the Movies. Thomas Hardy's fourth novel and his breakthrough success was first published in 1874. Almost 100 years later, Far From the Madding Crowd was adapted into a major motion picture starring Julie Christie in the lead role. This latest version sees Carey Mulligan play the part of Bathsheba Everdene, an independent, beautiful and headstrong woman who attracts interest from three very different suitors. Gabriel Oak, played by Matthias Schoenaerts, a shepherd captivated by her fetching willfulness. Frank Troy, played by Tom Sturridge, a handsome and reckless sergeant, and William Boldwood, played by Michael Sheen, a prosperous and mature bachelor. The film opens with humble but proud sheep farmer Gabriel expressing his love, or at least his desire, to wed equally humble Bathsheba on what appears to be the first occasion that they speak. Even though this seems to be the way things happened in those days, and who am I to argue with Thomas Hardy, Bathsheba remains unimpressed with the size of Gabriel's flock and guarantees of security, something he thinks will be sufficient to win her hand. In a strange twist of fate and reversal of roles, Bathsheba then receives news that she has inherited her uncle's farm and estate at the same time that Gabriel's flock are wiped out, leaving him destitute. He is then forced to swallow his pride and take up employment working for the very woman he was courting, while she, with her newfound wealth, finds herself attracting yet more male attention. Here's the trailer.
Christopher! It's your uncle's will! He's left you everything.
Oh my goodness!
From now on, you have a mistress, not a master. It is my intention to astonish you all.
Miss Everdeen's here now, so you better do your best work.
Perhaps you'd get to lend a hand.
You don't think I would?
No, you wouldn't.
How much?
£5 a quarter.
Very well. Miss Bathsheba Everdeen, would you like to marry me?
Mr. Oakhart, I want a husband. If I ever were to marry, I'd want somebody to tame me, and you'd never be able to do it. Mr. Baldwood, Miss Everdeen, your neighbour.
Good hunting, Miss Everdeen.
He's rich. He's handsome.
Miss Everdeen, I want very much to have you as my wife.
I don't think I've ever seen a face as beautiful as yours. Meet me tomorrow.
Nobody would know.
You should have nothing to do with him.
Don't listen to him. Don't believe him.
Why?
It is difficult for a woman to define her feelings in a language chiefly made by men to express theirs.
I'm not such a fool as to imagine I might stand a chance. One day I will leave you. You can be sure of that. Miss Everdeen will never marry you.
The film is well acted, apart from Tom Sturridge, who is best known for being Robert Pattinson's best friend, and on the basis of this performance will continue to be known mainly for that fact. The writer does well to adapt a weighty novel in only 2 screen hours, a full 50 minutes shorter than the 1967 version, and the film looks good with lots of galloping horses riding across sweeping English landscape. Although you can guess how the movie will end, even if you've never read the book, it's still delivered in a satisfying way and secures this film a solid 3 out of 5 stars. And that's all for Near FM at the Movies. Yeah, you're very welcome back to the studio for the film and television show. And now we have live in the studio as a very special treat for you all this week. We have Felicity with Felicity's.
You're building me up there now, Paul.
Building me up too much now. Yeah. Felicity's Flicks and Picks.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. Felicity, what have you got for us this week on films?
We open up with an Irish film, opening on Friday, the 1st of May, Get Up and Go.
Get Up and Go, yeah.
Title says it all, I think.
With our favourite actors, Love,
yeah,
Hate.
Yeah.
Oh, Love, Hate again.
Peter Coonan and Killian Scott, yes, who used to play Fran and Tommy on Love, Hate. This is set in Dublin, and it's about two friends who are at the wrong end of their 20s, whose dreams of artistic greatness haven't quite worked out yet. I think we've all been there.
That,
well, I
so
have
familiar.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all ahead of Dan.
Yeah,
Gemma.
Dan.
Yeah. And Gemma, I think.
not just me.
Well, these pair are hope, you know, to still fulfil their dreams and leave Ireland, get up and go, basically. And at one stage, back in the 80s, a lot of people did that, and more recently they did that in Ireland.
Yeah.
But this is set against the backdrop of famous Dublin locations, pubs and clubs, and it shows a youthful and vibrant Dublin. Mm. There's the film features live performances from David Kitt, Mick Pyro, Republic of Loose, and Peter Coonan. Didn't know he could sing or whatever he's doing. As well as tracks from the best of the Irish music scene, including The Villagers, Lisa O'Neill, and Jape.
Wow.
I wasn't excited about this film at all, but now that I know the soundtrack, that sounds really interesting.
I think the soundtrack is going to sell it, because I think the Irish people love going to see Dublin.
Yeah.
Yeah. On screen with a soundtrack.
Good soundtrack behind
good
it.
Soundtrack. Yeah. All those bands are pretty up there.
They were on the Late Late Show the other week.
The two guys,
yeah. I didn't listen to them. I did love hate, but yeah, maybe it's worthwhile going to see.
Okay.
Next up, there's a new animated comedy.
How it's interesting.
Called 2x2, and it's from the director of Thor, Legend of the Magic Hammer. Which
right.
is a bit unusual, isn't it?
I think that's one of those straight to DVD ones.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
No. Well, this was supported by the Irish Film Board, but it also has German, Belgian, and Luxembourg support.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Do you know what it's about? No. 2x2.
Two by two is four.
It's Noah's Ark, isn't it?
It's about Noah's Ark, that famous story. Yeah, well done. And these two creatures it tells the story and the adventures of the animals who didn't get on Noah's Ark.
Dan will be crying at that one.
Yeah, hey.
They're called Nestrians.
Yes.
Anyway, it follows their story. It's voiced by Irish actors Ava Connolly, Callum Maloney, David McGingis, and Tara Flynn.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And then next up, we have horror.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Spooky.
This kind of falls into the found footage genre. So have you ever seen the Blair Witch Project?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that was terrifying.
I didn't find it terrifying.
They could have just followed that stream that they came across back to land, but no.
Oh, yeah. That would have ruined the story.
Would have ruined it.
This has been, has had very positive reviews.
What's it called?
It's called Unfriended.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells of six high school friends receive a Skype message purportedly from a girl who committed suicide 1 year ago after a shaming video was shared on the internet.
Oh.
Wow.
They think at first that it's a hoax until the girl begins to reveal the friend's darkest secrets. And the mysterious messenger threatens the girls, telling them that if any of them log out and stop talking, one of them will die.
Oh, so it's like Speed then.
Yes, but the thing...
Speed, but on a laptop.
Yeah.
But
you can't stop chatting.
Well, I don't think people can stop chatting nowadays, can they? So they're using that whole sort of like messaging, Skype, that sort of thing to create a horror film.
And presumably Facebook, if it's unfriended.
Facebook, yes, absolutely.
And what's scarier than being unfriended?
Yeah.
Yes,
it's the worst thing that could possibly happen.
Rejection. But it's also told through, the whole film is told through one computer screen. So it's like you're watching your own screen. That apparently is the way the film goes.
Okay.
So after a while, I suppose the premise is that you're not watching a film.
Yes.
But you're watching your own screen where all these grisly things are going to happen.
Freaky.
Do you like the sound of it?
I do. I thought it looked pretty weak, but yeah, it's a good concept.
It looks very
topical.
I mean, it's, you know, the performances are by and large meant to be very well constructed, and the script feels authentic and real.
Cool.
Might give it a look then. Mm.
What's next then, Felicity?
The next one is a French film which opens in the Lighthouse on Friday. It's called Samba. Mm-hmm. Now, this is by a director. Now, let me see what his name is. Oliver Nakache.
Yeah.
It's French. And he was last teamed up with the actor that's in this film, Omar Sy, in a French film that I did see. It was very, very successful. It was called The Intouchables.
Intouchables.
Yes.
Oh, was that the one about the foosball, the football table players? Or was that the
No, this was an unlikely love story about a rich white guy in a wheelchair and his unconventional black carer.
That's why it was way off.
It was very, very, it was excellent, yeah. It sold 51 million tickets.
Wow.
Since 2011, making it the second biggest French movie ever at the French box office. But anyhow, that was that, and this is this story tells of Samba, who's migrated to France 10 years ago from Senegal and has been working hard, plugging away at various lowly jobs. So it's basically a story about the undocumented migrants in France, and somehow he meets up with what's her name, Alice, and she's played by Charlotte Gainsbourg, and they're sort of how their relationship develops. I think she's an executive who's burnt out, who begins volunteering at a detainee centre where Samba has been sent because he's been picked up by the French authorities. It is meant to be drama/comedy.
Yeah, so, dramedy, yeah.
Yeah. So that opens up. So that's all the movie news I have.
Movie
for the
news,
world.
And moving
the
swiftly on to TV. What have you got for us?
Okay. Last night saw a new series, Ripper Street, starting on RT1 at 11:35. It's a bit late for some people. Now, this is the second series. Ripper Street was on last year, and it was obviously around the whole Jack the Ripper.
Yes.
I didn't watch it, but it starred Matthew McFadden. But this, even though Jack the Ripper, obviously, I don't know what happened to him, but maybe fading into memory, the East London has found no peace. So obviously there's going to be a new story around that. There is evidence of a new and devastatingly powerful opiate on the streets of London, and the D.I. Reid fears a new hell is to be released onto his streets.
My lord. They reckon that he might have been part of the royal family.
The Ripper.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's never been solved.
Breaking news on Near FM.
They never. Yeah.
Like 200 years later.
They finally catch this guy.
No,
600 years
after his death. They've made films about that theory. That's been around
allegedly
the block a couple of times. Yeah. But they obviously never caught him, so he could have been. They do think that he was a member of the royalty because he got away with it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Mm.
Was covered up. Oh, gotcha, it's a conspiracy.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And tonight, I've been following this series, Happy Valley, is the final episode. And that's on at 10:15 p.m. I love this series. It's so well documented, so well directed. And I love the fact that it has a female protagonist, Sarah Lancaster.
Yeah.
She is absolutely brilliant in it. And she has a great supporting cast. Siobhan Finneran is her sister, and George Costigan is also in that series. But this is the finale. But I do know that they made a second, or they're in the process of making a second series.
Second series.
I'm not sure whether it'll all be tied up. But
it
is great viewing.
Yeah.
It's really great viewing. I know we're pushed up for time, so I'm just going to go on to briefly on RT2 on Friday the 1st of May at 8 p.m. there's a new series. It says it's a must see show. It's called Bad Bridesmaid.
That sounds interesting. I like this already.
Yeah, it's a show where brides-to-be allow an undercover comedy actress to infiltrate their hen weekend and wreck havoc. I think it was
brilliant.
On UTV last year. Now, I was wondering all the way through this was, why would you do that? Apparently, there's a great prize of a honeymoon to be won if you carry it off. You have to convince your friends, you know, your closest friends, that this person who's joined the group is somehow a real person,
great
like
friend.
And they're in with the crack. But basically, the comic actress is there to absolutely throw everything out the window and create as much trouble as possible from
even more mayhem.
Yeah. You can imagine what they're going to do with the bridesmaids' dresses.
It's the same actress as the undercover bride in every episode, is it?
Or
is
no, there's different. No. The bride is real, but they have different comic actresses every week, I think, infiltrating each. A different bride-to-be,
right.
I imagine.
Oh, okay.
There's six episodes. And then finally, Firefighters comes back to our screens on Tuesday the 5th of May at 7 p.m. And this is the third series of RTE's Firefighters. You're basically looking at how they
put out fires
in Dublin, etc.
What it says on the tin.
And this series is going to follow a whole new batch of recruits in their training. and how they're going to get on. I mean, I presume it's very, very rigorous. So if you're into watching
people put
men
out
put out fires.
A lot of saving cats
women.
From trees.
Yeah.
Yep.
That sounds great.
Sounds smoking. Yeah, badly drawn boy there. Something to talk about from, of course, About a Boy. One of my favourite movies. Now, one of Dan's favourite movies. Well, that remains to be seen. But Dan has got a shovel out again. He's gone digging. And this time he's dug up... What's the name of the movie, Dan?
In Bruges.
In Bruges, yeah.
2008. And it's a black comedy directed by Martin McDonagh. This was his first film that he wrote and directed. He was normally like a playwright.
Yeah. And isn't he brother of John Michael McDonagh?
Yeah, the director of Calvary. Yeah. Which we had last week. It's a nice little tie-in.
Yes.
I didn't know it either.
Very talented family.
Yeah.
Talented family, yeah.
Yeah. But the story is that it's Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson play two hitmen called Ray and Ken, who are sent to Bruges, which is a town in Belgium, after they're sent there by their boss, Harry, played by Ralph Fiennes, who sends them there because their latest hit went wrong, and they're told to go there to go undercover and wait for further instruction.
Yeah, now when you say latest hit, you're not talking about a record, are you?
No. It'd be a very different movie.
That would be a different movie. Shall we take a trailer?
Yeah, sure.
Why
not? Let's go for
it. Here we go.
What is it you've done, Raymond?
Murder. Father.
Why did you murder someone, Raymond?
For money.
Who did you murder for money, Raymond?
You, Father.
After I killed them, I walked home to await instructions. Get to Bruges.
Bruges, Bruges.
Bruges? Where's that?
It's in Belgium.
For 2 weeks? In Bruges? In a room like this? With you?
No way.
Been to the top of the tower? Guidebook says it's a must-see.
Well, you ain't going up there.
Why?
It's all windy stairs. I'm not being funny.
What exactly are you trying to say?
There are a bunch of elephants.
Mr. Blakely?
Yes?
You have a message.
Number one, why aren't you in when I told you to be in? You better be in when I call again, or they'll be now to pay up. I'm telling you.
He just swears a lot, doesn't he? Let's go out.
Go out where?
The pub.
Yes.
Harry? I've got an idea. I'm going to go back to my room, jump into the canal, see if I can escape. If you go outside and round the corner, you can shoot at me from there and try and get me.
I'll go outside, then which way, right or left?
You go right, don't you?
Okay, on the count of 1, 2, 3, go.
Who says it?
Oh, you say it.
You guys are crazy.
1, 2, 3, go!
Ray, you're about the worst tourist in the whole world. If I'd grown up on a farm and was retarded, Bruges might impress me, but I didn't, so it doesn't.
She ain't my girlfriend. She's a prostitute.
I'm not aware of any prostitutes in Bruges.
Just have to look in the right places. Brothels are good.
An Uzi? I'm not from South Central Los Angeles. I want a normal gun for a normal person.
Maybe that's what hell is. The entire rest of eternity spent in Bruges.
Back off, shorty.
You don't know karate. Ah!
Yeah, that's the trailer there. So lots of people being called shorty and lots of gunfire. So yeah.
I don't let that music confuse you. That's very high octane thing. It's going to be, oh, this is going to be like a Lethal Weapon style comedy, but no.
It's a bit slow, is it?
It's very slow, down in the dumps, very depressing kind of comedy.
Well, I liked it. Yeah,
no.
Well.
So, first thing to say about it, the performances are great. Like, Brendan Gleeson, it's not his best, but, you know, it's Brendan Gleeson. He still delivers.
Yeah.
Ralph Fiennes is very over the top, and he's just sort of enjoyable to watch when he starts freaking out. But it's Colin Farrell's movie. Like, he's... definitely the best actor in it, and he did win a Golden Globe for it.
He did.
And he definitely deserved it.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack as well is fantastic. It's very, like, sort of slow paced, very atmospheric, building piano. It's very, very nice. But But of course, with all that said, I have the controversial opinion of not being a fan of this movie.
Why?
Because I just think it's very mean-spirited and very, I don't know, very... I normally like offensive, dark kind of talking down humor, but I just don't feel like it works too well here. It's like, While the characters are very like complexly written and they do have good moral dilemmas, I just don't find them very likable apart from Brendan Gleeson. It's just,
yeah.
If I don't like them, I don't really care about them or what's going on or what's happening to them. So
you were saying it's not very PC, is it? There's a lot of sort of midget jokes and a lot of anti-American jokes.
Yeah,
as well.
If the first thing you say to, let's say, a short person when you meet them is, "Have you ever thought about committing suicide?"
Yes.
It's a bit unnecessary.
It is unnecessary.
That's the best way to say it. A lot of the offensive humour here is just unnecessary.
And they do encourage the American people to jump off the top of the building.
No,
he says you won't fit up the top of the building. Yeah.
And like, just this man asked him, like, "Have you been to the top of the tower yet?" And he said, "You're not going up there because you're a fat elephant and won't fit up there." Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, it's observational
humour, though, isn't it?
The observation being that he's fat, and that's apparently something to make fun of.
Yes, it's not very PC.
It's like when they're in the bar as well.
But I mean, is it not sort of like character driven? The comments. Who says that? Which character says that?
Colin Farrell says that.
Why does he say it? Is he meant to be a smart arse?
Gleeson wanted to go to the top of the tower and he said, "I don't, I'm just going to sit down here." And he just sort of sat down there. And then just people asked him how they get up there and he told them you won't be able to.
Yeah, I suppose he is a troubled soul, isn't he?
Yeah.
He has done bad things. Yeah.
Yeah, he does have like a very interesting backstory. And by all accounts, I should love this movie. It's just I don't know why. It just didn't click right with me.
Mm.
But and Ralph Fiennes' character as well, I just think he's very, like, stupid.
Like, it is a strange character, for lack of a better word. Yeah, bit of a buffoon, isn't he, really?
Yeah, because he's sort of, I don't know, self-contained. Like, he thinks he's really smart, but he's actually very stupid, which could work well, but I don't think he was written in the kind of way where they wanted to emphasise that.
Yeah.
I do think most of the writing, when it's trying to get a laugh, it's just like cursing, just like sort of 12-year-old inserting cursing like you'd find on Xbox Live or something.
Yeah, it's not very creative.
No, it
some
is.
Some of the stuff is just a little bit, remedial or something. Yeah, a bit lazy.
It's like when they get a letter off Ralph Fiennes, it just says, I hope you're effing having some effing fun in effing Bruges, and this effing better not happen again. I'm effing telling you, don't let it happen again.
Yeah, you were saying the F count is pretty high.
Yeah, it's said 126 times in the film, and the film is 109 minutes long, meaning that there's an average of 1.18 times per minute that the F word is used.
That's a lot, isn't it?
It's certainly more than you'd expect.
Yeah.
But they are gangsters, aren't they meant to be cursing? Cursing?
Any other fun facts, Dan?
The only reason the main characters are Irish is because it's Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. They were originally supposed to be British.
Yes.
Wow.
Of course, you have that controversy with his brother, John Michael McDonagh, who said Calvary wasn't an Irish film. Remember that? He came out and said that caused a lot of controversy.
What?
Which
he said he doesn't like Irish films, and he said Calvary isn't an Irish film.
But it's filmed in Ireland with Irish actors and Irish directors. Literally every aspect of that film is Irish.
Yeah. Yeah. So he angered a lot of people by saying that.
Yes.
So they're a very angry family, I think, are they?
Yeah, maybe.
Not coming on this show after saying that.
Yeah, you'll never get them on now for an interview. Damn. The angry McDonaghs.
Yeah.
Darn it.
Well, they sort of take up. I mean, he became famous through his plays in London, and he caused a huge controversy around his plays because they thought that he was taking like the proverbial out of the Irish.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. In London, you know, the Cripple of Inishman, and what was the other one?
They seem to do the stage Irish a lot, don't they?
Yeah.
They do, yeah.
Stereotypes, like the short person. They do stereotypes a lot, and the American person.
A lot of, like, the childish kind of, he's being a jerk but doesn't realise he's being a jerk kind of character.
Yeah.
I have to say, all I remember at this film, well, apart, I do remember a lot more, but the actual place, apparently, like, visits to Bruges
have taken off.
Not in Bruges. I want to go to in Bruges. Bruges was skyrocketed because people thought it was a very romantic place.
Yeah,
I think there was a snow scene. Was there?
Yeah, there was. Yeah. It's very well shot movie. Like, it does make Bruges seem very appealing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
except for Ray, who thinks it's hell on Earth.
He does compare it to hell because he's like a child. There's nothing there for him to do, so he's just bored constantly.
Well, a little fun fact here about Bruges. I've been to Bruges twice, actually. And I love it. And it's best known for its chocolate and its lace.
Oh, lace. Is that why you go?
Yeah. I go for the lace.
What an odd combination. Yeah, chocolate and lace.
It is.
Kind of racy.
Well, cut away from Paul before he decides to elaborate.
Racy, lacy. Any more fun facts there, Dan?
Let's just see. Colin Farrell's character wears the exact same clothes throughout like the 4 or 5 days he's there.
Is that a budgeting problem? Or
I don't know. I think just Colin Farrell just
didn't bother changing between
shoots. And this is kind of a spoiler, but let's just say that the screenplay had an extended version of the ending where you find out what happens to Ray after his, let's just say, like run in near the end.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Okay, that's all for Dan for this week. And just before we go, that's just about it for the show. Summing up, what have you got planned, guys, in terms of TV or film?
Dan, you were saying there's a really cool thing on in The Lighthouse.
Oh, there is. In The Lighthouse throughout the month of June, it's Bill Murray season. So
yeah.
most if not all of Bill Murray's movies where he's like the main guy are being played. It's like Ghostbusters, Caddyshack, Lost in Translation, awesome. Stripes. They're all being played throughout.
I love Stripes.
They're all being played throughout the month of June.
Yeah.
So definitely worth it if you can go to that.
Gemma, anything on the horizon?
No.
Felicity? What are you watching?
You mean on TV?
TV or film?
Game of Thrones? There's loads of films on the IFI. I want to go and see the Fellini?
Yes, yeah. Fellini, yeah.
I think if you're a film person, you're meant to have seen that.
Okay. You
know? So that's on the list.
Great. Well, listen, thanks, guys, for that, and we'll see you all again next week.
Next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.